Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. And as always, I go around finding women that I like, finding women that I find interesting, just women that catch my attention, because I'm a raging womanist, and I think that there are so many immensely satisfying women out there. And I happened to be talking on something, and there was a deeply satisfying woman that came on and talked about several touch points, and I was like, come on as a guest. And I leapt on the woman and brought the amazing Jo Hunter to spend time with us, because she has 120,000 people on her challenge. And I'm like, how the hell do 120,000 people join in? You're not Kim Kardashian. She had long COVID and recovered, and I love that she forces people to take time off when she works with them. And you know, I just, there were all those really, do you know what I mean, like interesting stuff in there. So I thought I'd just borrow her for a bit for you guys to get inspired and to enjoy her, to get on with her, and you know that. So Jo, welcome.
Wow, it's lovely to be here. What an introduction, thank you.
So welcome, it's so nice to see you. I don't even know where to start. So you run an organization called 64 Million Artists.
That's right.
What is that?
So it's called 64 Million Artists because we believe that everyone is creative, and that when we are creative, we can make change in our lives and in the world around us. And when we named the business, there were 64 million people in the UK. There are now about 68 million in the UK, but we think the name is fine. That's what we do. And so we work with people all over the country to essentially catalyze the creativity of everyone in the UK. And we do some of that through big public challenges, like the January challenge, which we're in the middle of now, which you were just talking about, has 120,000 people.
Oh, all taking 120,000 people on your challenge. I'm like, love that. How do you do that?
Well, so we're a year.
Entrepreneurs podcast.
So what we're really key, one of the things that we know, so the January challenge started 10 years ago, and it started because, so I had originally done that, you know, so I was really struggling, burnt out, and I took a month off work, and I asked different people to set me different creative challenges to do every day, and it kind of totally changed my life. And so then the very first year that I thought, let's do this as a job, I invited friends on Facebook to do it, and 200 people did it. And then the next year, 400 people did it. And then it sort of kept doubling because people kind of, I think, were really inspired by it. And then they would tell their friends and they would tell their friends. And then, and we always just did it for free. Like, we just kind of did it as something that we were kind of offering. But a few years ago, we started to get really serious about it for two reasons. One, that we really recognized that that model was working, that kind of passing on model. But due to the nature of it and it being me, you know, a lot of the people that were doing it looked like me, sounded like me, you know, that because we're passing it on to people that are friends and friends. So what we started to think was, actually what we want to do is have every day a different person setting a challenge. So this year we've got Michael Rosen, who's a poet, but we've also got Crystal Lowe today, who's who's a Welsh dancer, who's setting a poem all about dancing outside. So we've got different artists doing completely different things, but also community groups. We're working with the Joe Cox Foundation. We're working with Warm Space at Warm Welcome Campaign. And so basically it's all about the power of network, essentially. So, you know, they pass it on to their friends who pass it on to them. And also the amazing thing about the January challenge is it's absolutely loads of content. So we have a reach of about 8 million, and that was last year when only 50,000 people were taking part, because so many people are kind of sharing what they're doing, feeling really enthusiastic about what they're doing, and passing on to the next person. So it's all about participating and doing, but it's also about championing and getting other people in. And so it's that power of the community, essentially.
But when you say, what, define for me one challenge, like what's a challenge, what's it like, or two or three different days, like you've got 31 days of it.
Yeah.
What did you do yesterday, today, and the day before?
So today, today the challenge is to dance outside, nice and simple, which is brilliant. I went out in absolute freezing cold. It was, you know, below zero today. It was also a lovely day today because it's bright and sunny. Yesterday, the challenge was to pick up a pen of a color that you're drawn to and draw how you're feeling. And the day before that was about imagining a peaceful place, so the place that you find the most peaceful, and either drawing it or writing about it. You know, there's been Michael Rosen set one that was write a poem about your earliest memory. My favorite so far has been just to sing out loud. And that was a really beautiful day to, you know, because I love to sing and I just always sort of forget to do it. And I think we were saying today in our team meeting that, you know, obviously dancing outside can be something that you think, oh, am I really going to do it? It's cold. But the ones that kind of require you to go slightly more out of your comfort zone are the best ones, because then you come out and you're really like fired up for the day, which is great. So it's always free. And you should never need any resources to do it. You should always just be able to do it with kind of what you can find to hand.
And do you film it and then put it up?
I do, yeah, but loads of people take part. You know, when we first started, it very much felt like a kind of social media campaign, whereas now, you know, people take part in libraries, they take part in care homes, they're doing it in schools, they're doing it in workplaces. So there's stuff happening online, but it's also, yeah, happening under the radar all over the place.
I love that. So where would people find it? On 64millionartists.com?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go and actually sign up and see what happens.
Do it.
How do you make money out of this? What's your ROI on this? I mean, there's loads of ROI on it. How do you make money out of this?
We don't make a lot of money on the January Challenge. The January Challenge, we do sometimes get funded for. So we're currently funded by Arts Council England and Esme Fairbairn Foundation for lots of things, but that is part of it. But we use it as a way to raise the profile of everyday creativity and to kind of get loads of people participating. And then most of the way that we fund it is that we take profit. So we're a non-profit organization, so we take profit from other areas of the business and we put it into the public campaign. So we make money by running leadership programs. So we do a lot of work on sort of supporting people. We work with a lot of higher education, a lot of Russell Group universities, working with senior academics to help them think about their next big idea for research and kind of take that sort of from purpose through to kind of execution. You know, how are you sort of talking about it? How are you engaging people? So we do that. And then we also work with, you know, local authorities, cultural organizations, other organizations across the country, either thinking about basically it's all around how do you use creativity to engage people in an idea or to help with their well-being or to help, you know, to support creativity in a place, whether that's a workplace or, you know, in a local authority or a community.
Well, I was going to say, I was saying to you before we came on that as an Indian, nobody cared about creativity. They were like, just go be a good lawyer, darling. Marriage or death. My question was going to be, how does creativity help you do that? And then I was laughing because when I do all these personality kind of profile-y things, which I don't willingly do, it must be said, the thing that comes up the most is I'm highly creative and I really struggle to see myself as that person. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I'm an innovator. I understand being innovative, but I don't understand being creative. Why do you need leadership to be creative?
Well, so I think, you know, I think creativity is often now, like, people think of it as synonymous with arts, you know, like drama or dance or music or whatever.
Anybody Indian.
But I think, you know, my favorite definition of it is the ability to transcend traditional rules, ideas, and patterns and make new ones. And to me, that's like the most essential quality that we can all have. And I think it's also that, you know, I also think it's really important in terms of equity to think about the fact that we can all do that, because if we're saying some people are creative and some people aren't, that's still not okay if you're talking about drawing or drama or whatever. But it's really important when you're saying you can make up the rules and you can't make up the rules. And that's what makes me feel really passionate about it, that actually we should all have a really active we should all, you know, feel connected enough to ourselves and the world to feel like we can play an active role in our own lives, basically.
I thought that was called rebellion, because I definitely defined myself as that. I did not know that was a definition of creativity. I'm like, burn it all down and start again.
Absolutely.
I'm so with you that I'm embracing that totally. I swear I've never heard that definition before.
Yeah, it's a great one. It is a dictionary definition. And, you know, I think that that's what's been lost. And that's why I think we need a kind of creative revolution, because I feel like we all need to kind of embrace that side of ourselves that says, you know, this isn't right. Let's do something differently. And let's, you know, we do a lot of work around company culture in our own culture, but also with other people. And I just am constantly surprised by the amount of bad practice that happens because people are just thinking, oh, well, we always did it that way. Or, you know, that's the status quo. Yeah.
No, completely. Okay. We're going to go for a quick break. And then when we come back, I was going to ask something else, but I want to go more into this, because I find it fascinating.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink, perfect at home or on the go. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com by the end of January and get 15% off any of our award-winning supplements. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. When you say, like, because I look at the UK now, I spent the weekend talking to my children who are older. I'm now lying about their age because they're too old. I've decided this and that they really need to focus on this crap, frankly speaking. And we're talking about, you know, what they're going to do and how. And I struggle because I look around at this country that I love, that I've lived in, and I've never wanted to live anywhere else. I love London. And I try not to conflate London with the rest of the UK because I know the UK is so diverse in so many different places. But I can't see my children's future here anymore. And I really struggle with that because I ran the anti-Brexit campaign and I fought madly for that not to happen. And that's one of the things that I really struggle with, because I think that none of the young people that I speak to feel like their future is here. And I feel like they don't feel they can be creative here. I feel like they don't feel they can trust, because I think there is a certain thing of creativity that comes from having a level of trust. I think the more that you trust yourself, the more creative you can be. The more that you are in a secure space, the more innovative you can be, to use a word I'm really comfortable with. And I fear for that. What you know, because politicians are definitely not meant to be creative. And yet that seems to be where creativity starts and stops for us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that sort of scares me, and yet I see a massive potential, you know, it is this thing of like, it feels like there are lots and lots of old systems and patterns that are dying, or they're reaching the end of their use, and what feels like it's happening is people are kind of clinging on for dear life, and that's why we're getting more and more right wing, well, or more and more polarized, at least, you know, that things are happening at the other end. And to me, it does take a lot of creativity to kind of dance in the middle and say, but also have the confidence to say, that is done. Like, we should be done with that. We should stop trying to kind of work around the edges, and like you said, maybe we do, there are things that we need to burn down. But to me, that's why at the moment what it feels like is happening is that there are very few people who are wealthy or privileged or have a certain say in the way things go that are making all the rules, whereas actually what we need is more people to feel like they are creative, that, you know, to have those tools to say, because I think everyone is creative, you know, 64 million people already are, 68 million are already creative. We don't need to make them creative. We are, we know we are, because we are when we're little.
Already existent, as opposed to,
exactly,
you're mining for the creativity, not inventing it.
Definitely. And it's being educated out of us. It's being squeezed out of us at work. Whereas actually, if we could change those, if we can start to change the systems around education and work, we can create a sort of body of people who are not only able to question, but have ideas, you know, like that can say, actually, let's do it like this. Let's innovate. Let's try. Yeah. And I, you know, I want to. I'm a completely relentless optimist in life. You know, that is how I get through it.
Because I've always thought that if I can't see it, I'll make it. If I can't make it, I'll inspire it. If I can't inspire it, I'll empower it. You know, I've always been that person. I look around now and I'm like, ooh, I'm not even sure I could. And yeah, it's slightly deflating. I wanted to talk to you, just slight pivot here, about long COVID. Because I famously had long COVID last year and was bedridden 6 times and didn't, I really struggled, and it paid a very, very high price for that. But I went from somebody who did CrossFit 4 times a week in 2022 and worked out and did everything to like struggling to climb upstairs in 2023. And so long COVID was 22. So 21 was CrossFit, 22 was COVID, not with the C, and 23 was convalescence, because there's... So talk to me about yours, because it's just unbelievable how much we struggle with this.
Absolutely. So I got it very much like right in the beginning of COVID. You know, we locked down in March, whatever it was, March 2020, and I got COVID then, essentially. And so one of the things that was really fascinating was that thing of people, you know, there was a lot of skepticism, wasn't there, at the beginning about what it was, and lots of people really like, did you really have it? And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, it feels pretty real to me. But also that we were in the pandemic, so we were, you know, we weren't allowed out anyway. So it was a really debilitating time physically, in that I was, you know, as you say, you know, unable, lived in a flat, luckily didn't have to climb the stairs, but, you know, couldn't go to the shops, couldn't take my kid to the park, or, you know, I'd wake up and think that I could, oh, I feel much better today. And then I'd do something like that, really small and really simple, and come home and that would be it. You know, for 3 or 4 days, I'd be completely in bed again. And I think it was horrible, and it was, you know, really depressing. But I think what it also did was, you know, I have been someone that has found it very, very difficult to kind of value the importance of rest. And yet I kind of, you know, I was forced to do that. I had to rest.
Long COVID, wasn't it? Understanding rest.
Yeah. And it was absolutely the game changer for me. It was like, you know, suddenly my body was like, right, I am in charge, and you are no longer going to be running around. You are going to wait, and you are going to get better from this. And I think what really I really felt the benefits of it. I really, so as much as I struggled, as much it was awful, and I would never do it again for the learning experience, but I would say that it completely changed my way of working, because it meant that I couldn't overwork. I couldn't run around doing everything. Obviously, I couldn't do that because of the pandemic anyway. So it really made me pause and rest, and really value the importance of rest, not just for me, but for other people around me.
Well, and rethink how you perform.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was much clearer. I was much, you know, I made better decisions. I was more efficient. I could see with much more clarity what was important and what wasn't. And so now we take, you know, every year we take the whole of August off as a company. We work a 4-day week. You know, we have really decent holiday allowance on top of that, because I really value now, you know, when you stop, when you rest, when you reflect, you're actually much better at your job.
No, I agree, because I coach almost entirely full time now, and which happened to me over the pandemic. And one of the things I did is that when my clients are going on long plane trips, is I always stagger the coaching to hit a particular concept before they hit a plane trip, because I know they have to. And I was saying this to, I was having lunch with a client, and I said, "You're traveling, aren't you?" I was like, "Good, can we book call him before?" And she was like, "We were talking about it." I was like, "You don't know, do you, that I always book this so that?" And she was like, "Oh, we've coached yes, you've never told me." And I'm like, "Okay," but it's a thing, isn't it? Because there's a space where, like, Wi-Fi should never be allowed on airplanes, really. Mm-hmm. Because there's just a space where you do exhale. And then that piece, I think, in my language, allows your energetic body and your physical and mental bodies to kind of come into alignment. And when they're in alignment and they're all joined up, you're the wholest version of you. And then it's a completely different space you're operating from.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like I do some of my best. I've been having a real wrestle because I travel into London from, I live in Stroud and Gloucester. It's not that far. It's only an hour and a half, but it is the train. And I do it, you know, a couple of times a week or whatever. And at first I was like, this is brilliant. I'm really getting through my work here. I'm really efficient. But actually there've been a couple of times recently where I haven't had something to do, or, you know, whatever. And actually I've just found myself looking out the window, and my brain starts doing that thing of like, oh yeah, in this program I could totally, and you're like, this is what I should be doing on this train, because it's so perfect. I shouldn't be trying to do all my admin. I should be trying to use it for just brain space. And because that, yeah, that's where it really, I know, you know, I can prove it. I can, you know, we doubled our turnover both times that we've taken August off. There's a very, very clear ROI on August off. And yeah, it's so hard. We're so wired, aren't we, not to think that. We must be at our desks doing emails. That's work.
Well, because the French do that, don't they? They actually get to August and they just close everything down. And I've always envied that. Because I used to do that with my business. Then it got too big and there was so much demand and people were just like, well, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, okay, then. So we're going to go for a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to touch when we come back on how you use creativity to help with panic and stress and burnout, because I'm really interested to hear more about that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. How do you use creativity with panic, stress, and burnout?
So I think for me, it really, the initial time, so when I, you know, I was having really bad panic attacks, really bad burnout, and I took this month off work. And I think for me, the biggest thing was realizing I was so being so relentless in my kind of pursuit of, you know, of working hard, of getting things right, of being good, of getting, you know, being achieving things. And I think what creativity really helped me realize was actually failing is really important. Risk is really important. Getting things wrong.
Failure all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like creativity, and certainly the way that we do it, where it's like a little bit every day, and it's very much sort of, you know, giving you a manageable size bit of creativity. It's like
more stress because of this.
Exactly. It's like training yourself to not be afraid to fail, and training yourself to try something new. And this feeling that you get when you do something creative and you think, I did that thing that I never thought I could do, partly because I'd never tried it. You know, why would I ever think about how high could I build a tower out of all of the junk that's in my living room or something? You know, of course I wouldn't have thought of that. But then I think it sort of helps sort of train this bit of your brain to think, I can do things I didn't think I could do. Like I can, you know, I can challenge, you know, I can do beyond my current capacity. And I also think it helps you with thinking, it doesn't matter if it doesn't work out. Exactly. It doesn't matter.
I have a failure because this thing did not work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's just how so many of us are wired. And I think it is.
Women in particular, though.
because we have, you know, and I think when we first met, you were talking about this kind of, that so much of what we do is about external validation, and that we're not taught from a young age to validate ourselves internally. Like it's very much about what do you look like, what do you, and so actually we feel very out of control of how we operate in the world, and we're very much kind of waiting for other people to, I'm saying this in general, obviously I know loads of women who are no longer like this, but I'd say, you know,
the fact that they're not like that shows us the ones that remain. I'm sorry, exactly. I work in this field and I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And it really makes me sad, partly because it was exactly how I operated for most of my life. And it's still something I'm constantly unlearning all the time. But I do think, you know, that is something that is huge for women. Is like we have to, you know, we're trying to fit in this particular way, and often a way in which we are palatable and acceptable to men.
I was saying that this morning to a client I was coaching. I think that, and I think I said this on the talk, that doesn't matter if you're world globally famous or not, within us is that concept of how women never quite feel safe. Mm-hmm. And that we couldn't feel safe because if we got pregnant alone, we didn't survive. We couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't protect ourselves. And that's such a deep visceral reaction, which is still built into the way that we operate, because it's so patriarchal how we operate, right? You know, and there's a place where you've got to consciously root that out. And if you don't consciously become aware, I speak to women every day and I talk about this. They're like, yeah, but really? And they don't know their head and their bodies are connected.
Mm.
And I'm kind of like, I don't know how to have this conversation. You literally don't. Do you know what I mean? And it defeats me. And I have to, that's why I worked in weight loss for 15 years. And I have a recognized brand. And I, this year I was like, I will shoot myself. I will not do this anymore. I can't bear the tragedy of watching women starve themselves into submission. It's horrible.
No, and I think you're absolutely right. And I also think it's partly, you know, we have operated in a system like this for so long. You know, one of the things that I notice myself doing is that I find it scary. Like I notice myself coming into my power and I think, actually, would it just be easier not to do this? You know, like, will people still love me if I am as powerful as I want to be? Will people still engage with me? Will I still have friends? Will I still, can I still be a good mom? Can I still be a decent wife? Like, and actually that's the trick, isn't it? Like, you know, that's the thing that we are, you know, that's how we have been kept down previously, is by that narrative. And that's why I think creativity, that's why I like the medium of creativity, because I think it, in the same way that obviously I think other ways are equally valid, but the thing about that creativity does well, I think, is that, you know, someone who wouldn't go to therapy might do some creative stuff and find that it has a real outlet for their thoughts and feelings, because, you know, it doesn't feel as scary. It feels like a sort of soft way in. And in the same way that someone might not think, I'm going to step into my power, they might do something like this as a sort of, as fun. Like, yeah, they'll start to do it as fun, and then all these additional benefits that they have will sort of come up within them without them doing it as a conscious thing. And I think sometimes that's just a less scary way to start, and it feels like it. Yeah,
I really love that. That makes so much sense. I was just thinking of my eldest son. He has a very small, because he's anaphylactic, so an asthma and eczema, and so he had cardiorespiratory arrest and died and had to resuscitate and was in hospital so much from 5-6 months old. And I'm thinking about what you're saying when I'm hearing you say this, and I'm like, it would be such a good thing for him, because his world can be very small. You know, it can get deeply, deeply small, because there's a level of safety in however small our world is. And in fact, you know, you need to find ways to make that box bigger. And it's the same as being globally famous. Your world becomes very small because you're not safe, you know, to be seen. And then we take a through line from there all across to women, you know, to where do we feel safe? I really like that. That's so interesting. You've really made me think 100% differently around this, because I never had any of those thoughts before.
That's great. And yeah, I think that the, you know, one of the things I really love, so we have a lot of people taking part actually who are disabled or who have chronic health conditions, who have long COVID. And one of the things that we always say is, you know, whenever there's a challenge, even today, you know, for dancing outside, just like, obviously, if you can't go outside, that's fine. But, you know, I know lots of people who have done it in the way that feels safe to them, or not just safe, but the way that feels they're able to do it. You know, so we had a woman who did everything, you know, was completely, you know, was in bed for the whole of January. So, you know, it would do them in her head and would then think about them and talk about them, you know, it just from there, like everything she did, she just did it in the way that she was able to. And I think that's the thing, you know, sometimes we are at a point, and I have, you know, obviously I've done this for now for 10 years. And so I can really see there have been years where I'm like, yeah, I'm up for it. I'm so excited to do the January challenge. And there have been years where I'm like, oh God, do I have to do it today? I've had to do it because, you know, I'm tired, I'm stressed, my kids are small, my husband isn't well, like everything's hard. And so it's that thing of like, oh, I'm just going to do this little thing. And every year, I am always so surprised anew to be like, oh my God, this really works. It's really good. It like genuinely is a good thing.
God, I love that. That is so cool. So tell us where everybody can find you.
So yeah, you can find us at 64 Million Artists, which we're across kind of, you know, the usual social channels, and 64millionartists.com. And it's called The January Challenge. So if you search the hashtag The January Challenge across any of those platforms, you'll be able to see how people are joining in, and you'll be able to see what everyone else has been getting up to.
I love that. That's just so cool. It's been a pleasure. I see, I knew I was right to have you on. I knew that. And I knew I'd learn something. So my instinct. So thank you very much, Joe. I really appreciate you guys. Go check out Joe Hunter at 64millionartists.com. I signed up while we were talking because I'm that type of person. And I can't wait to see and learn and hear more about it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Geeta.
This is Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and thank you so much for joining me. And I hope that this is something that will inspire you immensely, because I do think so much of the time when I'm feeling stuck, when I'm tired, when I'm scared, particularly when I'm scared, my world shrinks to my fear. And I can't see outside of my fear. I can't see outside of myself. And my stomach clenches, my solar plexus clenches, and I can't, you know, there's a place where everything becomes very small. And one of the joys of creativity or you know, whatever it is that you want to call it, but basically creativity, is that it will be a sweet, soft, gentle way for you to expand your horizons. And I am a huge fan for you to do that. So let me know how you manage that and let Joe know how you manage that. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.